Seen the old show Kids Say the Darndest Things? Raise your hand. Love that show. So funny. So here's what we're going to do. As a treat for you guys today, we're going to bring up some of our kids, and we're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday topics. Who's ready for that? Yeah. All right. I need my munchkins to come up here that I talked to about helping me out today. Christian, you coming up? And Micah? And Autumn? And nope, Matthew, not, nope, I didn't talk to you. 1, 2, 3. Casey, Joe, take, oh, here, you can take a seat, Autumn. You guys can find a stool. Who else did I talk to you? Marley and Boone. Where's Boone? Are you going to come up and help us today? Awesome, I'm so excited. All right, find a seat. And I have one more. Who was the other one that I talked to? Kobe. Come take a seat, Kobe. Awesome. You guys are in for a treat. Oh, no, you don't. This is my seat, Kobe. You sit in that seat. Perfect. You guys ready to answer some questions about Christmas? Yeah? Okay, so here we go. And they have not been briefed with these whatsoever. So these are completely raw answers. So let's start off with Micah. Micah, I've got a question for you. What is your favorite holiday memory?
Christmas.
Yes. Christmas. Well, what do you like? What's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Jesus' birthday.
Oh, that's cute. What's your real favorite thing about Christmas?
Jesus' birthday.
Okay, all right. I'll give it to you. Okay, let's see. Kobe, where are you going? Oh, what a ham. You know what, Kobe? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what, well, tell me this. What is your favorite thing to eat around the holidays?
Popcorn.
Popcorn. You like to eat popcorn?
Yeah, with butter.
Oh, with butter. That's good. Do you help your mom make the popcorn?
No.
Oh, it's what?
It's too hot.
It's too hot.
I believe we should pop a lot. Oh. Get a lot of popcorn.
What else do you like to eat around the holidays?
Go golfing.
Oh, go golfing. That is so much fun. Are you good at golfing?
Yeah, I'm kind of weird. My ball goes zigzagging, and I try again every time.
Kobe, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. Christian, I have a question for you. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Yes.
What is your New Year's resolution?
I have another question. A lot of questions.
Oh, you just forgot. Well, let me ask you like this. What's something this year that you're going to do better next year?
Watch movies.
Well, that's a great... Well, tell me this. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Frosty.
Frosty the Snowman. That's a great answer. All right, Autumn, I'm going to ask you a question. Let me see here. If you and your family were to go Christmas caroling, what... Oh, no, no. You're not going to go Christmas caroling? Well, if you were going to go Christmas caroling, what song would you want to sing? Can you tell me your favorite song?
Elsa.
Elsa? That's a great song. You like that song, Let It Go? Yeah? That's a great song. Are you going to... So you're not going to go caroling then? You don't like to carol? You don't like to sing? Do you like to sing?
Yes, you do.
Well, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Making gingerbread houses.
Making gingerbread houses. That's a great answer. You like to make gingerbread houses? What kind of candy do you like to put on the gingerbread houses?
A candy cane.
A candy cane. That's a great answer. Okay. Oh, thank you so much, Kobe. All right. Yes. This is every week, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Casey Joe. What is one thing that you really want for Christmas this year?
A la la loopsie girl.
A la la loopsie girl. Well, tell me, what is that? I'm not sure what that... Kobe, it's not true. It's not your turn. Take a seat. All right. Casey Joe, tell me a little bit about this toy, because I'm not sure what that is. What is it?
It's a girl that has mostly curly hair.
A girl that has mostly curly hair. Okay, that's cool. If you had $1 million and you could buy a toy for your dad, what would... Kobe, take a seat. What would you buy for your dad?
A pocket knife.
A pocket knife. That's a good answer. That is a good answer. Let me see. Hey, Boone, I got a question. Hey, Boone, where are you going? Boone. All right, well, if you warm back up, you can come back on the stage. All right, let me see here. Micah, if you could go anywhere on a vacation at Christmas time, where would you want to go on your Christmas vacation?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. That's lame. All right, let's try again. Marley, where would you want to go on your Christmas vacation?
North Pole.
To the North Pole? What are you going to do at the North Pole?
Sled.
Sled? That sounds like a great plan. Are you going to drink hot chocolate with some elves?
No.
No. Well, what else are you going to do? No. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep moving here. Oh, you're here. I'm so glad you're here, Boone. Tell me this. Do you think you made the nice list this year?
No.
No. Boone, what's your favorite thing about Christmas time? Oh. Wow. Kobe, take a seat. Who wants another question? I've got a couple more questions to ask. Okay, well, let me see. Okay. Somebody tell me this. I need to know, what is the real reason for Christmas? Who knows the real reason for Christmas? Autumn, do you know? Wait, Micah, stop it. Do you know the real reason for Christmas, Autumn? Making a Christmas tree? Well, that's a great answer, but not the one I'm looking for. What? Who knows the real reason for Christmas?
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday? That's a great answer. That's a great answer. All right. Last but not least. All right. I don't think we're having that one. All right. Tell me this. How many of you guys like to eat around the holidays? Raise your hand. I want to know all of your favorite Christmas cookies. Can you tell me what your favorite Christmas cookie is? Okay, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Santa.
A Santa Christmas cookie?
Yeah. What flavor?
Frosting.
Frosting. What's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Gingerbread.
Gingerbread? Kobe, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Chocolate.
Chocolate? What's your favorite?
I forgot.
Well, do you have a favorite cookie?
No?
Do you like cookies at all?
Can you tell me one that you do like? Are you counting calories or something?
I can't remember what it's called.
Chocolate chip? No. All right, we'll think about it and maybe we'll come back. Marley, what's your favorite?
Chocolate chip. All except for dog treats.
All except for dog treats. What's your favorite Christmas cookie, Boone?
Monster cookies. What is it?
Monster cookies. That's a great answer. Good job. All right, guys. High fives. Thank you so much. You guys can go take a seat. Everybody give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Pastor Les. Thank you guys so much.
Hang on to that. I'll tell you. All right. Wow. I think we need to give Josh and Bev a raise. Okay, this kid right here is my nephew. So he either has a career in preaching because he never stops talking, or he has a career in sound because he's checking the sound, you know. He's got it going on. Well, this morning we're beginning our series for December called Christmas Stories. And we're going to begin this morning by looking at probably one of my most favorite Christmas story, and that is Charles Schulz's timeless classic, A Charlie Brown Christmas, okay? Anybody like A Charlie Brown Christmas? You know, whenever I was a kid, it wasn't like it is for you guys today or even the teenagers where you can pull up A Charlie Brown Christmas on your phone or you buy a DVD and you can watch it. We had to wait until it came on CBS to see it. Or you would have one of those right there. Did anybody have the little 45 record and the book? You got to be 40 or over to have this type of cool stuff. All right, anybody have those type of things growing up, okay? Man, I loved it. That was my favorite one. Go back to that one, Jack. That was my favorite book and record. And here's how it worked. If you guys have never seen one of these, you have a record player, and it's like a CD that's black with a big hole around it. Y'all don't even know what a CD is, okay? But anyway, you put the record on, you hit the needle, you play it, and then you have this book, right? Okay, and the book would say, it's A Charlie Brown Christmas. And it would be the actual dialogue from the TV show. Exactly the same. That's how I memorized Luke chapter 2 is from watching the Charlie Brown Christmas show as a kid. So you would watch it, and does anybody remember these words? When you hear this sound, bing, turn the page. Anybody remember that? That was the coolest thing ever to have those things, and you would just turn the page. And I can remember sitting in my room as a kid reading and listening to A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, A Charlie Brown Christmas, does anybody know how old it is? It's over 50 years old. It debuted on CBS December the 9th, 1965. It took 6 months to animate, which really was a fast track to animate it in 6 months, and the budget was $96,000, which really isn't a lot if you think about it for an animation like that that stayed around for that long. One of the coolest things, I think, and one of the most unique things about A Charlie Brown Christmas is the music. Have you ever thought about the music that's behind A Charlie Brown Christmas? Who decided that they would use jazz as the background for a Christmas program? But if you'll bring up that next slide, Jack, the Vince Guaraldi, who was a jazz artist back in the 60s, he wrote the music or transcribed some of the songs that were already Christmas songs and gave them a jazz feel. And the Vince Guaraldi Trio is the ones who did the Christmas music that we are so familiar with that makes up A Charlie Brown Christmas. The Charlie Brown Christmas won an Emmy Award. It won a Peabody Award, and it still lasts today as one of the greatest Christmas programs of all time. Now, many of you know that Charles Schulz, who wrote the Peanuts cartoon, was a Christian. And Charles Schulz said that he wanted this show to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And you watch the show, and there's the ice skating, and there's the Christmas lights, and there's the trees, and there's the Christmas play, and there's skating, and there's all those things that kind of represent December and the holidays. But at the center of it all is the Christmas story. And it's interesting because at that time, the Charlie Brown Christmas special was sponsored by Coca-Cola. And the network executives at CBS, they didn't have any problem with including Luke chapter 2 and the story of Jesus in the story. Now, you can imagine today, if they were creating a new Christmas special and wanted to include that, how difficult it would be for it to get that passed. But it's really interesting. I can remember in the early 90s that they came out with a new Charlie Brown Christmas. Anybody remember that? And they rewrote it, they dropped Luke, and it was a bomb. Nobody liked it because it wasn't the real thing. And now they still play it during the holidays. Now ABC has the rights to it, and so you can still watch A Charlie Brown Christmas. So we all know The best part of a Charlie Brown Christmas is what? We know. And we're going to get to that in just a second, but it's when Linus steps out and he makes that big speech and he reads Luke chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, that's going to be our text. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And I have four kids that I've asked to help me this morning read the text. So Christian, if you'll come up. Haley is coming up. Matthew and Jayla. And I want you guys and gals to come up, and they're going to help me read the text from Luke chapter 2. Look at them bringing their Bibles and their papers. Man, that's awesome. So come here, Christian. You're right here. Haley, you come beside Christian. And then Matthew, right here. Well, this side. And then right over here, Matthew and Jayla switch, and we're ready to go. All right? So Matthew, Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now, I'm going to read the first couple verses, because the first couple verses have got some huge words in them, and I didn't want these guys to have to deal with Caesar Augustus and Quirinius. All right, those are always fun coming in Luke chapter 2. But here we go. Luke chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. All right, Christian.
So Joseph went also. He went from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judah. That is where the
Bethlehem,
the town of David, was. Joseph went there because he belonged to the family line of David. He went there with Mary to be listed. Mary was engaged to him. She was expecting a baby.
All right. Good job. All right. Now, let's pick it up with verse 5, 6. Right there. So it was. Verse 6, so it was, right there.
So it was that while they were in the days were
completed,
for there to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in the swaddling cloth, and led him to a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
All right, great. All right, Matthew.
And suddenly there was with the angel and multitude of the heavenly host praying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth place goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.
All right, terrific job. All right, Jayla, finish this up.
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured it up, all these things pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Terrific. Give him a big hand. Great job, guys. All right. Now, unless y'all want to preach the rest of the message, y'all can go sit down. No takers, huh? Now, does anybody remember how the Charlie Brown Christmas story begins? We all remember how it ends, and we remember that part in the middle. But it begins with Charlie Brown and Linus walking through the snow. And they stop, and here's what that looks like if you don't remember. They stop, and they're having this conversation. And listen to the opening words. If you've never really paid attention, think about these opening words. Charlie Brown says, "I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all of that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed." And here's what Linus says to Charlie Brown. "You're the only person that I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest. Try to get that right, typing that out. That was a lot of fun. You know, we all kind of feel, I think, like Charlie Brown does. We love a lot of the things that have to do with Christmas, but sometimes you find yourself in that place and all the busyness with everything that's going on, kind of feeling like, do I get it? Do I really understand? And am I getting too frustrated during the holidays? And am I really focusing in on what Christmas is really all about? Well, the way the story goes is after that moment right there, Charlie Brown begins this quest to figure out what Christmas is all about. So he goes and all the kids are skating. Remember that scene? All the kids are skating. And there's Lucy. Why did Lucy have a psychiatrist booth set up at the skating rink? I don't know. But if we know Lucy, we remember she liked cold hard cash. So for 5 cents, Charlie Brown comes over and he starts spilling his gut to Lucy. And she really is not concerned with that. She's just clinking away at the money. And so Charlie Brown leaves there and he goes. And somehow, even though he's the Charlie Browniest of them all, he gets the job of directing the play. Remember that? Charlie Brown gets there. He's trying to direct the play and tell them what to do and get all of that going. And things are going crazy and the kids are dancing around and they can't get the costumes right. And finally, they just say, "Well, go out and get us a tree, Charlie Brown." So Charlie Brown goes out and he's looking for a tree. Now, some of you will remember this. There's still a few things that are before my time. And way before my time, apparently in the late 50s and 60s, they really did sell aluminum trees. Some of y'all are nodding your head. And that was a part of the show, was that Charlie Brown went out and he was looking for a tree, and all there were these aluminum trees. And so remember, he comes back with that little pathetic looking tree that he brings back, and they all give him a hard time because that's the tree he came up with. And that's the point in the story where we come to this morning, where Charlie Brown is brought in the tree. He's trying to figure out what Christmas is all about. He's met with Lucy. He's tried to direct a Christmas play. He's brought a tree, and he's really frustrated. So let's jump into the story at that point. Jack, show us that.
"I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?"
"Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please." "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Thank you.
For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I'll take this little tree home and decorate it. And I'll show them it really will work in our play.
When this scene opens up, Charlie Brown's pretty frustrated. He's really wanting an answer. And I think Linus is finally frustrated with Charlie Brown too. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you the answer. And this morning, I want to share with you real quick four things. And you're saying four, you're like, whoa, but they're going to be quick. Four things that the birth of Jesus shows us. And we see it in the story we just read with the kids in Luke chapter 2 and in this story. The first thing is this. The birth of Jesus interrupts us in our daily routines. In this story, the birth of Jesus was an interruption. They're in the middle of trying to do a play. They've got all this stuff going on. And here is Linus, who interrupts everything, who takes center stage and even says, lights, please, and gets the lights and everything. And in that moment, the story of Jesus takes center stage. It interrupts everything that's going on in that moment in the story, that the story's flowing and it seems to be about this at one point and that at another point. But then we're interrupted with Luke chapter 2. It's a lot like what happened in Luke chapter 2. The scripture says that there are shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So you have shepherds who are doing their job, and there's an interruption. Now, just for a second, put yourself in that position on a hill in Bethlehem, looking after sheep, doing your job. It's night, it's quiet, you may even be about to go to sleep, and there's this interruption with an angel who appears in the skies and bright lights and this announcement that comes. And when you think about it, that's what the birth of Jesus did to humanity. You know, we regulate time BC and AD, right? We regulate time based on the birth of Jesus. Jesus' birth interrupted life for the shepherds. It interrupted the moment in Charlie Brown. And for all of us, the birth of Jesus should interrupt our lives. And it should interrupt how we deal with others. It should have an effect on us so that it interrupts every part of us so that it interrupts us and changes us and helps us to live out what we know is true in the story. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And in that story, you've got some shepherds who are out there doing their job, and Jesus and God send the message to them first. Interrupts what they're doing. That's Jesus already seeking to save those who are at lost on a hillside in Bethlehem doing their normal stuff. So that's the first thing that the birth of Jesus does. It interrupts us. Here's the second thing that it does. In that story that we just saw, I don't know if you caught this. And for me, I had watched Charlie Brown for over 40 years before I caught this a few years ago. There's something special that happens in the story when Linus steps up and he begins to make that Luke chapter 2 declaration. As he begins to talk about it, Linus is always holding on to his what? His security blanket. And I don't know if you noticed it. That's right, John. But when he said, he's telling it, the story, and then he says, "Fear not." And he dropped the blanket. And you know what that says to us? It says that the birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. See, Linus always held onto that blanket because it was a what? It was a security blanket. Some of us may have grown up with a blanket or a toy or a stuffed animal that we always hung on to all the time, didn't want to let go of it. I see kids sometimes, and they're down the road to 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and they're like, we don't go home without that little bear that looks like there's no skin and fluff on it. He's been chewing on it, eating on it since he was 1 year old. That bear thing that he has with him all the time, that's his security blanket. And in this story, it's amazing that Linus becomes so focused on everything that he's saying. And if you go back and watch it, and I hope you will go back and watch it through the lens of what we're saying this morning, there's that moment where his smile and his countenance changes, and he drops it and he continues, fear not. He gets a big smile on his face. He begins to use his hands and his expressions. And what that tells us is that Jesus came to separate us from our fears. It's right there in Luke chapter 2. When you read the story, it says, like we said a while ago, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the scripture says they were terrified. But what was the first thing that the angel said? Do not be afraid. And I don't think those words were just about, do not be afraid, shepherds, in this moment, because you're kind of freaked out right now because you're doing your shepherding thing and all of a sudden an angel has appeared and interrupted the night. But don't be afraid, because look what the scripture said, I bring you what kind of news? Good news that will cause great joy for how many people? All people. What a message that came in that moment. In that moment, all of our fears would be taken care of and alleviated because Jesus stepped into the world. John, in John chapter 1 John chapter 4, who lived every day with Jesus and even called himself Jesus' best friend at the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John. John said this in 1 John chapter 4 about this. Now look at this. He says, this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. He's saying, I saw it. I was there. I walked with Him every day. I saw it, and I can testify that God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And then He says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And then there's that. There's three words that we know are right there in John. He says, God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And then here it is, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. That's part of what Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and Him walking on this planet did for you and for me. Whatever the fear is in your life, whatever you hold on to, whatever it is that you can't let go, that you're afraid of, because Jesus came, we can be separated from our fears. Whatever it is that's in your life today that's still, even as a believer, maybe for many years, the fear of the future, the fear of getting a disease, the fear of what's going to happen with your family, your kids, or your parents. Jesus came to separate us from our fears and to invite us instead, John says, to flip that upside down. Instead of a life of fear, a life in His love. That's where that security blanket isn't something I hang on to just to get me through the day, but His love is something that's the real purpose of a blanket, to wrap me up and help me and to make me feel warm and fuzzy and comfortable and good. Didn't we say it was great joy? Great joy? All right. Getting hot. Get rid of that. All right. Here's the next thing. Oh man, I'm going right past one of the best parts of this message. Here's the reason why we're separated. Here's why we can be separated from fear. It's because of what Matthew tells us in Matthew 1:23, as he is echoing the words of Isaiah 7:14. And Tressa said it a while ago. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him, talk to me, church, which means God with us. That's really the reason why we can let go of the security blanket and we can let go of all of our fears, because now God is with us. He's with you and me. He's walking and living in us and through us every day. Amen? Now, here's the next thing. Did anybody notice? Remember we talked about how the story started, all right? Charlie Brown starts. He's struggling with what Christmas means. He's dealing with all that inside of him. But notice what happens here. Did anybody think about what happened when Linus walked off the stage and he says those words, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown"? Did anybody notice what happened to Charlie Brown? For the first time in the entire show, he smiled. Run that, Jack. And notice what happens to him. Not only does he smile, but he kind of gets a little bounce in his step, don't he? Did anybody notice that? And he's smiling as he's carrying that tree. And you know what might be even, what might be even a little bit better than Linus standing there and reading that? It's this point right here where Charlie Brown stops and the word begins to resonate in his mind and his heart, and he thinks about the word of God that he just heard. And he begins to think about it and to meditate on it. And look at that smile. And then watch what happens. After the word gets off the stage and into his heart, watch when he makes this turn right here as he's going home. Look at that. I mean, my boy's got, look at him. I mean, he's got a spring in his step. And that's the next point. The birth of Jesus fills us with great joy. Is your Christmas, are you going to look like Charlie Brown at the beginning or Charlie Brown at the end? Are you going to sit on a wall somewhere, "I just don't know about Christmas. Why do we have to go through this? It's so busy. We're going to their house again. I got to buy presents. Is that going to be you? Go back and listen to the November sermons, okay? Just go back online and go finish your attitude adjustment, all right? Or are you going to be, you're going to be dancing Charlie Brown with your tree and running around and excited about what God has done for you? Notice what the scripture says. It's not just a Charlie Brown thing. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And when the angels had left them, look at this, and gone to heaven, so the angels come down, they tell them everything that needs to be said, and the shepherds, they just went back and sat and watched the sheep. No, I think the shepherds kind of did what Charlie Brown did. It said, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So look at this verse. It says, so they did what? They hurried off. They hurried off. You want me to do it for you? That means that the shepherds talked about it and they did that Charlie Brown thing all the way to the manger. They hurried because they had heard the message, and they took off because great joy began to fill. Imagine the anticipation, y'all. They hadn't even seen Jesus yet. They had not even met him. They didn't even know what this was really all about. But with excitement in their hearts, they made a beeline to the manger and experienced that in their lives. And so again, I want to ask you, what is your Christmas going to look like? Are you going to be Charlie Brown at the beginning this Christmas? I don't have a bracelet for this, but you sure can remind your husband or wife or kids this month. Are you going to be Charlie Brown at the beginning or Charlie Brown at the end? So here we go, last one. The birth of Jesus, it interrupts us in our daily routines. It separates us from our fears. It fills us with great joy. And here's the last part. Let's watch it, this last clip. This is the way Charles Schulz decided to end a Charlie Brown Christmas. Watch this.
What's going on here?
I think I'm going to try to work with the choir and get them to sing like that where they put their heads back and their mouths get real big. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? What a statement. They didn't get around that Christmas tree and sing Jingle Bells. They didn't sing Rudolph or Frosty. They sang one of the most sacred and oldest hymns that lyrically was written by Charles Wesley and was orchestrated by a romantic composer named Mendelssohn. You like that, don't you? I'm using like stuff from music history that I never thought I would use, like finally after 20 years. Listen to the lyrics. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory, worship to the newborn king. Peace is now on earth, and mercy. Anybody need mercy? Look at this lyric. God and sinners reconciled. There's some powerful theology in our Christmas hymns. Powerful theology. Listen to this. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Every nation now. Every nation, not just Israel. Every nation has an opportunity to come in relationship with Jesus Christ. Join the triumph of the skies that the shepherd saw. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And that's the last point. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, I'm sorry, verse 17, when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were what? Amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Just like the angels told them. They saw everything like they had been told. And so the thing that the cherry on top this morning, the ending is this. The birth of Jesus, yes, it interrupts our lives. It separates us from our fears. It fills us with great joy. But at the end of the day, what the birth of Jesus does is it propels us to tell other people about Jesus. See, the shepherds did not just enjoy a moment of worship on a hillside. The shepherds didn't just go and kneel and experience that moment in the manger. They could have just taken all of that in as worship and worshiped him and enjoyed it and had a great time and had a great service. But what happened in them propelled them to tell other people. And what they told other people resulted in people being amazed. Wow! Look at what has happened in Bethlehem. They spread the word. And when Jesus gets down inside of us and we experience what he did for us in the manger, it should propel us out into a world of people who need to know him and need to know the gospel and the mercy and the grace and God and sinners reconciled all together. Do you believe that today? Amen. I want to close with this little thought. There was a conversation that took place between Charles Schulz and the producer Mendelssohn and the director Melendez of A Charlie Brown Christmas. They were talking about what they were going to do and how they were going to put together the show that you've watched today and you've watched many times before. And Mendelssohn and Melendez, the director and the producer, they were a little worried about using Luke chapter 2. In 1965, they were worried that it might come off a little too religious. But Melendez was later quoted as saying that Charles Schulz turned to him and he said, If we don't do it, who will? The end. If we don't tell the story, who will? Let's not let Christmas this year just be about the gifts and the trees and the decorations and the rush of what will be the next 22 days. But in our lives and in our witness, let us share what Jesus has done in us, that as the shepherds did, people will leave amazed. If we don't do it, who will? Let's do it this year at Christmas. Let's be the light to our world. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I want us to close like we opened this morning, singing this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As we get ready to close this morning, I want to have prayer before we sing this. And let's just talk a little bit about those fears again. You know, this morning, if you came in here today and you've got a fear that you're dealing with in your life, Jesus came to alleviate every fear. It doesn't mean that that thing is still not there in the morning when you get up, and it doesn't mean that it's not a concern for you. That it means that as you look through your fears and your doubts and your worries through the lens of the manger and the lens of the cross, that you realize that Jesus came to set us free from all that and to separate us from fear. This morning as we pray, if there's a fear that you're carrying around, drop that fear today as we pray. And as we've been talking about the last few weeks, make a choice, choose to have an attitude of faith and believe that that fear is surrendered to Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for the simplicity of the gospel. And I thank You today, Lord, that we can bring our fears and our doubts before You. And I pray this morning that God, You will, every fear and every doubt that's in this room this morning, that they would be surrendered at the feet of You, Jesus, today. We would leave those fears today and God, take up the joy that You have provided for us through Your birth, through Your death, and awesomely through Your resurrection. And God, we praise You and we thank You for that today. And we give You glory for that this morning. I want us to close, guys, by singing Hark the Herald like you guys did a while ago. Let's turn it up. I want everybody to sing this morning. This is a great way for us to end today. Let's do it.